will be processing more than $3.4 million in benefits today. In addition, and in an effort to help Kansans who put their health and lives on the line during the COVID-19 pandemic, I have directed the Department of Labor to evaluate all of its processes and procedures for handling worker compensation claims filed by law enforcement, firefighters, emergency medical service providers, and healthcare workers that are reasonably related to the pandemic. Department of Labor will draft and submit a temporary regulation and develop potential legislation designed to create workers' compensation coverage for our first responders and healthcare workers who contract COVID-19 while assisting in the state's response to the pandemic. The regulation and proposed legislation will create a presumption that first responders and healthcare workers who contract COVID-19 contracted the disease arising out of and in the course of their employment. I'll let Secretary Garcia provide you with additional details on both, but before doing that, I do want to take a minute to thank the folks at the Kansas Division of Emergency Management and the Kansas National Guard for their dedicated service during this trying time. You rarely hear about the Kansas Division of Emergency Management. They're a very small, yet very experienced team of professionals who respond to emergency situations across the state, whatever that emergency might be. On March 12th, KDEM fully activated the State Emergency Operations Center to centrally coordinate the state's COVID-19 response across various state agencies, private partners, and the local emergency managers and public health officials. In times of crisis, the state has a variety of tools and assets it can deploy to provide assistance to local units of government, and it is KDEM's responsibility to coordinate those efforts. Since its activation, KDEM has coordinated a variety of responses across the state, including purchasing and distributing personal protective equipment to medical facilities and first responders, expanding testing across the state, and supporting food distribution to those in need. To help meet the growing demand, KDEM has purchased and transported 18,000 prepared food packets to local food banks statewide. And they're working to find new meal sources to meet the very heavy increased demand. Additionally, KDEM is coordinating with the Kansas Department for Children and Families and community partners to distribute food to Kansans as part of the Disaster Household Distribution Program. This effort was established through DCF's existing network of temporary emergency food assistance program agencies. To help with the logistics of all of this, they rely on members of the Kansas National Guard. For example, here in Topeka and in Kansas City, some members of the Guard are working in the harvester's warehouse, moving pallets of food and helping pack boxes to distribute to those in need because of the unprecedented demand we've seen at food banks in recent weeks. Kansas National Guard is also helping to support medical professionals at the Lansing Correctional Facility, and today will be assisting local public health departments with COVID-19 testing at locations across the state. The Guard is one of the many resources available that we can use to support counties as needed. They are a unique response component with both a state and federal mission. We often associate the Guard with National Disaster Response. The Guard is always ready, always there. And Kansans should be proud and grateful to know that they were ready and they are there for us. And I want to thank them all for their service. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Secretary of Labor, Delia Garcia.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon. Yes, the Kansas Department of Labor is making progress this week for Kansans in need. And I want to share some positive steps with you today that we've been taking to move us forward. First, as the governor acknowledged, we are excited to announce that the federal pandemic unemployment compensation, also known as FPUC, provides additional $600 weekly payment for unemployment insurance to claimants that went live today. And we know that we are already getting comments from claimants that are excited about that. And as part of the Federal CARES Act, FPUC is a $600 payment that is made each week in addition on top of their other employment benefits that the eligible claimant may receive. I would like to list what those others are. So individuals who are eligible for the $600 payments is between the time of March 29th and July 25th. And if they're already receiving one from one of these categories, whether it's one, the regular benefits, which is the state unemployment, two, the shared work program, three, the trade readjustment assistance, four, disaster unemployment assistance, five, the pandemic unemployment assistance, or six, the pandemic emergency unemployment compensation. So if you're eligible, you're automatically going to receive the FPUC payment, so you do not need to add an additional application. And the retroactive payments for prior weeks after the law went into effect of March 29th will be following soon after. The second piece of information I'd like to share with you is in mid-March, the legislature passed a temporary extension to increase the number of weeks an individual would be eligible for unemployment benefits from up to 16 weeks to now 26 weeks for claims filed after January 1 of this year. So if you are eligible, you will automatically receive the benefits extension. No application or process is required other than filing your weekly claims. So those impacted will receive new monetary determinations that include the additional 10 weeks worth of benefits. And third, the governor referenced this as well, as the Kansas Department of Labor has drafted and submitted a temporary regulation and is preparing for potential legislation designed to create the workers' compensation coverage for our first responders. The regulation proposed legislation will create a presumption for first responders and healthcare workers that contract the COVID-19 arising out of their work where they're at in employment. And we are working with senators right now to get legislation drafted and introduced in the time of consideration when the legislature is at the next possible opportunity. And finally, I am proud to announce the availability of our Spanish language website at www.getkansasbenefits.gov. When I started a year ago, I wanted to increase availability of materials in Spanish. We took major steps forward in doing this with our website and being other materials being available in Spanish. So you can now file your weekly claims, check your claim status, and view the FAQs all in Spanish just by clicking at the top right-hand corner on the Español button. The first translated Spanish pages actually launched last week, and then this week more content was added. And we will be continuing to update and contain more Spanish language resources as they are being developed. These are all good steps forward, and we will continue our efforts to get benefits to all of our Kansans in need as quickly as possible. And I'd like to thank all of the partners who have been helping us get to this point, and I'd like to stand for any questions. Thank you.
Questions?
Secretary, can you explain how money is going out right now? Is it direct deposit right now, and then checks might take longer, and then back pay, how will that work? It's not all at once.
Yes, so the question is that how's the money being? So money is automatically, if you're already eligible and receiving, it's automatically hitting their bank accounts today. If you have the debit card, you should receive that probably by Friday, by tomorrow. And then at latest, if your direct deposit is no problems, you should probably receive that as well tomorrow, at latest on Monday. And back payment will be continuing, like if you did that yesterday, if you filed yesterday, it's automatically going to go through. However, if you did it like 2 or 3 weeks ago and there may be a back payment, you will still get the payment just later.
So it's not like someone's going to get $1,800 today?
Not today.
Like in the fall?
Uh-huh, yes.
Governor, with all due respect to your anniversary, the word maybe didn't get it to the folks outside. They have some rather choice words for you, tyrant, fascist, dictator among them. You might have a chance to respond to some of that.
Okay, so you're asking me how I'm responding to all the names I was called today.
Yes.
Well, Brad, one of the things that many people don't know is that I actually used to work with adolescents, and so there is no name in the book that I haven't been called at some point in my life.
Some of the protesters out there were saying that you should go out and speak to them. What is your message to them?
I think I've been pretty consistent in my message to them is that I understand their frustration. I really, truly do. I'm as frustrated with this, and I wish that I could just snap my fingers and have this all over with, but we can't do that. You know, we really do have to pay attention to the science, pay attention to the reality on the ground, and reopen our economy as health indicators allow. You know, I've spent this entire week and will next week working with our industries across the state. You know, today I was on the phone with the hospitality industry, so our restaurants, hotels, our tourism industry. I've been on the phone with all the chambers, with the small business folks. We're really talking with all of them in preparation for, you know, lifting the stay-home order on May 3rd. We don't do that, but it's our intent to do that. And so we're working with all of our different sectors across the state to put into place some base guidelines that will work, but will be very clear so there's no confusion in preparation for that moment. It can't come soon enough, but we also can't rush it.
Governor, the whole issue with the stimulus money is still sort of playing out in D.C., and now all of a sudden the Republican leadership and even some members of your delegation here are sort of reticent about the idea of giving you money or any state money that can be used to offset the revenue declines that everybody's going to see. How much support do you think you can count on from the state's congressional delegation to try to get that stimulus money or get some flexibility that would allow you to backfill the holes that everybody's facing?
We have had a lot of support from our congressional delegation, particularly Senator Roberts and Senator Moran. We've had multiple conversations with them. I think our congressional delegation is very well aware that it's imperative that states and local units of government be given some assistance to backfill those revenue holes that have occurred. You know, if you think back to the recession in 2007, 2008, 2009, you know, the federal government did exactly that. They sent funds back here that allowed us to fill some of the holes so that we didn't have to so drastically cut education. We didn't have to cut our Medicaid program. It was necessary then. It's probably even more necessary now because the holes are bigger.
Are you in a worse position now? Because in 08, 09, there was avenues. You could raise revenues, which I don't know how possible that is given where we're at now. But now you're sort of having to cut and increase employment insurance, Medicaid, other services. So can you address that? It seems like you're, not just you, but all states are a little bit in a trap here in that they're losing money at the same time when they have to spend money to deal with the pandemic.
Well, Stimulus 3, I think, addressed the issue of having to spend more money. You know, we will get assistance from the federal government for COVID-related expenses. So that's in place. What's not in place yet and what needs to be in place is to be able to backfill the revenue holes that have been caused by some of the actions that we've had to take because of this, you know, extending income tax filing deadlines, just from the shutdown of our businesses and the revenue that's no longer being generated, whether it's the sales tax or the withholding tax, all of those kinds of things, we've got to have some assistance on that. Because, you know, we are right now, we just got the consensus revenue estimates. We know we're down one fiscal year and then into next. We've got to fill those holes. And you're right, I'm in a very different situation than we were in 2007, 2008, 2009 because of what happened with the tax cuts in 2012 and 2013, where in order to fill the holes created by those, we had to go rob every bank, every piggy bank we had in the state. So all of those usual, you know, sort of cushions or stopgap measures that we could use to fill the holes are no longer there. You know, so we're starting with an empty piggy bank, essentially. So we've got to get the assistance from the feds if we're going to be able to weather this storm.
Governor, why was there such a big increase in COVID cases today?
You know, I wish Dr. Norman were here, but my guess is what happened is that there was some delay on some tests responses from some of the labs, and that we now have those in, and that's what's adding to it.
Have you heard anything back from the federal injunction hearing? I kind of wanted to pick your brain on that.
Really, I haven't heard a thing about that today. I've been paying attention a lot more to starting the phase in of our opening up of the economy. So I really don't have any idea exactly what's going on. I think they put some additional defendants on there. But I don't know what has changed.
Governor, the Casey Star sent in a question. In California, nursing home operators and healthcare companies are lobbying the state's governor for a sweeping order to provide immunity to nursing homes and long-term care facilities from administrative and civil liability from lawsuits arising from COVID-19. Have you or your administration received a similar request in Kansas, and what would your response be?
I don't believe that we have received such a request. One could always come in, and should that come in, you know, we will look at it and we will address that, you know, with a Kansas focus. We'll see what we need to do. You know, our situation, our nursing homes, you know, we clearly have clusters, but we're not in the same position as a number of other states are. So we'll see if that becomes an issue here. We'll deal with it with a Kansas focus.
Governor, I have a question for Fox 4 about patient overflow hospitals. Are you considering sending the Kansas National Guard to help with Kansas City area hospitals if they're getting overwhelmed there at all? Do you know anything?
I don't think that's necessary at the moment. I've had conversations with our CEOs in our hospitals just recently this week, and they are very comfortable that, you know, they can handle what's out there right now. Obviously, that can change. You know, if something comes out and we spike significantly, but I'm very comfortable with the capacity that we have right now across the state that we could deal with a surge in a particular area by some shuffling around of folks.
Would that be up to you to send the National Guard there to help out?
Well, I am the one who, you know, would order the National Guard to go there, but I would do that based upon input from our hospitals and our public health officials.
Secretary Garcia, when can self-employed Kansans expect to see claims, and what does that process look like?
So for the self-employed, that would be the program PUA, which is the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. We just started those steps in putting those in this week, and that progress is going through. Rough amount, and again, this is an honest answer, would be anywhere from being optimistic, 3, at most 6 weeks of getting that through. Anybody who is applying for that would receive retro money, so if they're waiting for that now, that's when that would go into effect.
Can you talk about the process of getting the $600 out, kind of what took so long, and then could that process or the money, could that run dry at any point from the federal government? Could you send out too much?
Yes. So about the $600, would it run dry? No, that would not. The reason why it took so long for the $600, as I've mentioned before, of our system being a little older and being held up by Band-Aids, we have tried and tried and tried, and it was the system that was, we had an issue with our rockets, which is the mechanism that carries from information from our website to the mainframe. That's where we were having issues. But thanks to the governor's help, when we had the SWAT team come in and check, an IT SWAT team come in and do alleviate some of the stress off of the website, we were able to make some enhancements within starting getting things moving, and including then allowing us to input the $600 code, which is now moving.
Governor, on the healthcare EO from yesterday, two questions on that. One, does it go too far in making the regulations too lax on healthcare providers? And that, in a first glance, it seemed pretty sweeping in terms of the restrictions it eased for healthcare workers. And I've heard some concern that maybe that went too far. Secondly, there's a sense that maybe it didn't go far enough on liability. and that there's a number of physicians out there who right now aren't doing elective treatments that are intended to be, you obviously understand the question.
I do understand the question, Brad, and this is one of those cases where, you know, if you've got made everybody angry, you must be doing something right, because we have. You know, there's, we put out that executive order to respond to what we know to be increased demands on our health workers and the healthcare environment. So we wanted to ease up some, you know, restrictions on practice so that we could have more folks out there responding to the increase in healthcare needs. You know, I hear the part on the immunity. You know, there are only so many things that we can do from an administrative point of view. Some of that has got to be legislative, and we'll be working with the legislature on that.
Scarborough says they're getting to reach their peak, and Shawnee County Health says that they've reached their peak as well. Coming back to hospitals a little bit, you said you talked to a lot of the other hospitals around Kansas, and you're pretty comfortable with how we're going to be able to handle this, but what would that look like? If Stormont's reaching their peak and they're going to have to send other people other places, what if those hospitals told you that would look like?
Are you talking about Stormont reaching their peak in terms of the number of folks that they can actually handle within the system? You know, actually, the conversations that I've been having with the hospitals is that most of them were feeling pretty comfortable that they were at a position to resume things like elective surgeries and elective procedures and regular appointments. So I'm not familiar with Stormont having a sense that they're going to run out of capacity. I'll check on that, but you know, clearly, if that is an issue, we'll work with them and figure out a resolution. You know, we do have another healthcare facility here in Topeka. There might be some ability to do some transferring if that's necessary, but I don't know that to be a problem. In fact, just the opposite. There are a number of hospitals who are really ready to get back to doing some of the elective surgeries and regular appointments that they've had before. So we'll check on it, but I think we're okay.
Governor, how close is Kansas to having the testing supplies it needs to do the testing needed to start reopening the economy?
We are nowhere near where we need to be with testing supplies. It's the biggest frustration that I have. You know, we have taken some steps to deal with some of the testing-related issues. For instance, I know that Dr. Norman has talked about how we've gobbled up all of these 3D printers from dental offices in order to produce our own swabs because we weren't getting those. We did get some testing supplies that came in response to the issues in Southwest Kansas. The CDC really did ship in thousands of test kits, so we were able to respond to that emergency. But just in terms of regular shipments of tests and test supplies that we need, we continue to not get that response. We did just get told by FEMA that we really shouldn't be going through them. That was news to us. We should be going through the CDC. So we've turned our attention back to the CDC, and we're working directly with them. But I'm also looking at other innovative ways to make sure that we get those test kits into the state of Kansas. It's imperative if we're going to be able to lift that stay-home order. You know, I think there are three guidelines that have come out, even from the White House, that we've got to have testing, we've got to have contact tracing, and we've got to have the surge supply in the hospitals should something happen. So I think we're good on the hospitals. I think KDHE is putting together a very robust contact tracing, but the kits, the testing kits, are still the barrier that we have right now. So I'm looking down a lot of rabbit holes trying to figure out how we can get those test kits here. We need them.
Governor, are you worried about what you saw outside when it comes to social distancing? I mean, over 1,000 people fairly close to each other, do you think that could spike cases?
I certainly hope not. You know, it's not a good idea to do that. And yeah, I wouldn't have recommended it, but we'll hope that those folks all get home safe and sound.
Governor, is there a possibility that schools may not reopen in the fall? Is the Board of Education developing an online plan for this? And do you worry students could fall behind?
Well, we hope that our schools will be able to open in August. You know, given how we're going, I'm cautiously optimistic that that will happen. You know, as we phase in sort of the lifting of the orders, we'll do phase one, phase two, phase three. I think if we can get to phase three, it would allow our schools to reopen. But I think we have to be prepared because there's lots of chatter about a new wave hitting in the fall. So looking into October, November, I think we've got to be ready. Fortunately, Kansas put in what has really become sort of the gold standard for continuous learning guidelines. We were the first to shut the schools down for the whole school year. Our teachers and our administrators put together a really robust online learning program, academic packets to go. We've got school nutrition programs going. We've got continuation of mental health services. The ability of our schools to provide for some child care for frontline workers. So we have the model. I hope that we don't have to use it in August, but if the wave comes back in October or November, we already know what to do, and we could revert to that. So I want the schools open. I want Friday night football. I want all of that to happen, and that's our goal, but we're going to be prepared for either one.
Governor, at this point, after the events of yesterday with the LCC and the tit for tat that was sort of going back, that has got a bigger issue, obviously, at play, how would you size up your relationship right now with the legislature, particularly the conservative-Republican element of the legislature?
Well, I always like to separate it out, the rank and file legislature, I think, I have a very good relationship with. Obviously, there's been some, as you say, tit for tat with legislative leadership. I think that even with all of that playing out in the public, I still maintain a decent working relationship with a number of them. I was in the legislature for a long time. I know how that all works. I understand the politics of it. I don't have time to play the politics back. I just have time to do this job. And so that's how I will continue to operate, is just focus on getting us through this in the best possible manner. As I think we're looking at all our options to deal with some of the issues that were raised by the legislature or the LCC sort of adjourning and not coming back till after May 1st.
But Governor, do you have any update on, you mentioned you're looking at those options, what might come out of that, what those options are?
We've got a number of things that we're looking at. I've got my, as I said yesterday, I've got my legal team looking at that. We want to make sure that whatever we do is within the bounds of the law, and that the timing of that is appropriate. So I can't really give you any details right now. I just want you to know we're looking. We fully expect that we'll be able to come up with an option to allow us to continue under the emergency declaration, because if we couldn't, it would talk about a disaster. That would be a disaster.
One more question.
When calculating a 14-day downward trend to kind of begin phase one, reopening and kind of rechanging things, does a spike like today's throw things off, or does Kansas account for those numbers when they count for them?
Well, I'll need to talk with our public health folks, our epidemiologists, because of the reason there was such a huge spike, that we may be able to throw that out as an outlier and look at the underlying numbers.
Do the delay in the testing, is that playing into that?
As a delay in getting the results back was what played into that much. I think we did have the testing going on, but some of it was the Abbott testing, which is sort of an instant turnaround, you know right away. Others had to go into labs, and getting those test results back were delayed.
Thank you.
I'll share your anniversary plans with the board.
That wraps it up for Kelly's press conference. She has these daily at 2 o'clock. We will continue to check in with those moving forward via her Facebook page or other live broadcasts. But we will return back to your standard programming of Sean Hannity here as it is 71 degrees. We've just hit 230 in beautiful downtown Coffeyville, Kansas.